We're going to continue here in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel and kind of wrap up the end of the story with Thomas. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the things that they keep on writing books about and making TV shows about are locked room mysteries. So the room is locked, the windows are locked, and somebody inside the room is dead. That's your basic premise. Well, how did that happen? That is kind of the eternal question. And you know, in 43 minutes on primetime television, they'll generally unspin that, or in about 350 pages if it's Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, they'll unspin that for you. We kind of have that challenge in this encounter with Thomas. The doors are closed, the doors are locked. I kind of imagine they've got the dresser slid over in front of the drawers, and Jesus just shows up. I don't know about you, but that would be a little disturbing, a little surprising. I thought we had the doors locked. Which one of you left the door open? Now, we have, for the next 2,000 years, given Thomas a load of trouble. The cartoon on the screen in the other room says, "Okay, how come I'm still doubting Thomas, you're not denying Peter, and he's not running away naked, Mark?" And Thomas, well, we've tended to put all the blame on him. We've neglected to read the first part of this chapter of John, in which none of the disciples believe. Right? I mean, they have a great track record themselves. And then we don't read this one with quite enough detail. If you go back and read it, it says, Jesus appears, and he shows them his hands and his side, and then they believe. Well, if you read that part, Thomas doesn't sound so unreasonable now, does he? I want what they're having. Now, the disciples do something that is very right. And they tell Thomas, when he gets back, we have no idea where Thomas went. But when he gets back, they tell him, "We have seen the Lord." I think there's really three huge lessons for the church in this passage that we often neglect. One is what we talked about with the kids. Nobody believes the first time. You have to keep telling the story. I mean, otherwise, why do we need to do Easter every year? Like, the people who got it, and we can move on, right? You only need to hear this once, and clearly it's obvious that it's true, so let's just keep on going. Probably we need to hear it more than once. Probably we need to hear it more than twice. There's a lot of Easter stories in Scripture, and the disciples then and now are fairly clueless about this Easter thing. I think one of the other pieces we neglect is that Thomas and the disciples who were there the first day, they get to see Jesus. And we're here 2,000 years later, and it's a very intangible thing to imagine being able to put your fingers in the nail holes or your hand in the side. Just kind of creepy. But I know in my faith journey, things have become more real after they have been made real by people who believe. And I think that's one of the pieces where we need to remember that we are called to be the body of Christ. Okay, so if we want to take that, the church is the body of Christ, and expand that out, they need to see the nails and the hole in us. They need to see that that stuff is a part of us deeply and wholly. We are the body of Christ. The body of Christ they want to see is not a perfect body. If you look carefully up here on Jesus in the stained glass, you can see the hands and the feet. And you can see the holes. And that tells us something about which Jesus we're seeing. We are seeing the Jesus who was crucified and risen. And that, I think, is what our world desperately wants to see. I think the other thing is that this Sunday is traditionally known as Low Sunday. It's also known as Associate Pastor Sunday in churches large enough to have an associate pastor. We forget that this part of the Thomas story happens a week later. And that part of our faith is that we believe the risen Christ shows up this Sunday as well. Not just on that first Easter Sunday when the brass is in the church and the lilies are in full pollen and everything else is going on. But we believe that Jesus shows up this week too. And that there are some of us who may not get it until this week. And that's part of the story. So we have to keep telling the story. It's way too easy for us to get distracted and just use doubting Thomas in that throwaway phrase. There's a lot more than that going on. Thomas is the only one who apparently is not afraid of the Jews, so he's not in the barricaded room. The number one knock on the church today is we get too inwardly focused and we're not out there. Maybe we need a couple more Thomases who aren't afraid of the world, but are out there. Even if it means missing that high liturgical moment. The other disciples got to see the hands and the side. One of the things we're not good at doing is when we tell our own stories, remembering all those landmarks, and if we talk to somebody who doesn't have those landmarks we have, they may have a hard time believing it. But they haven't seen the marks we've seen. I mean, I have huge marks in my life about this God character. And they are part of the story I've told you over the last 8 years. But when I'm 10, losing a family friend who was 8, and how the church responded to that, how the church responded in all the brokenness and loss of that struggle, of that pain, that is one of the marks that I can see, that I can put my fingers into about how the body of Christ is. I can remember sweet little old church ladies. Do you know any of those sweet little old church ladies? who, when I was 13 and 14 and 15 years old, would come up to me after Youth Sunday and pat me on the shoulder as I was standing in line, shaking hands, saying, "Oh, you're so good at that. Are you going to be a preacher someday?" And the answer was, "Uh-uh." "Are you nuts?" Well, guess what? They didn't stop asking. Every year they asked that. It's kind of like we do this Easter thing every year. That's the body, too, that it sees something in us that perhaps we don't think is possible. Or that we don't want to believe is possible. I've seen the church fail in incredibly horrible ways to be the church. And I've seen people walk out because of it and never come back. And I have seen the body be broken in that way. That's not something I want to see again, but I probably will. And I have been on the receiving end of the body of Christ doing its ministry far better than I was. To be in Raleigh with Dad as we have to make the decision about pulling him off of the ventilator or not, and to have my church praying for us at the precise time that they pull him off the ventilator and he starts breathing on his own. I have seen the marks. But I needed to see the marks. I needed to see them. I needed to feel them. I needed to know it was real in a way that my Sunday school teachers could not convey to me by having me memorize Bible passages. I think that is the challenge that Thomas and the other 10 in the upper room give us. Is if we are to be the body of Christ in the world, we are to be the body of Christ that knows its wounds need to be shown for people to believe not just in the crucifixion, but also in the resurrection. So friends, tell the story, because we're slow learners. Know where you've seen the marks, and be willing to hold out your hands so that others can see the marks as well. To God alone be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen.